What's up, everyone? This is Josh Peterson of Humanikin Media.
And I'm Gerald Glassford, and we're from the Pop Culture Cosmos and the PCC Multiverse. And you're listening to Weird, a Two Dudes podcast right here on the ACE Podcast Network.
I feel like there's a joke in here somewhere.
I know, that's really weird, isn't it?
ACE Podcast.
Weird.
Hey, how about it?
What are you doing, man?
I'm over here. We're in a weird spot today. We're in the annex.
We are in the alternative studio.
We are. You know why, don't you?
Why?
I don't know. I thought you knew.
Of course I know why, but
it's a secret.
We can't tell anybody.
Well, when they started remodeling the Lee Berry Studios and they were going to put that new chocolate fountain in.
Yes.
And
so excited.
And it has to be a sterile environment when they install that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we couldn't be there anywhere near it.
No.
Hey, you want to know some coincidence?
What?
Okay. Today's October 13th.
Yes.
This is episode 113.
Isn't that crazy?
Episode 113.
It's 113, which is also not the number 13.
October the 13th. You know what else it is? Friday the 13th.
That's nuts.
What is up with that?
Well, it happens.
Friday the 13th.
It happens.
Episode 113.
It does
I get
happen.
Excited over these little things like this.
We've all noticed.
Hey, we got weird news.
Tons of it. We got weird news. We are the podcast that brings you the weird news.
That's right. My name's Aaron.
My name's Craig. And you know, you could watch the news.
You could, but I wouldn't.
But that's all bad news.
I don't watch the news.
This is bad news that's funny.
Yeah.
It's
and
bad
that's
news
not
that
all
makes
bad.
You it makes you scratch your head and say, "What the heck just happened?"
What happened? Like that. I just did it. See?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not even live yet.
And you almost we haven't really decided yet. My mic is giving me trouble over here today.
Hey,
you get almost a 100% guarantee there's going to be at least one good poop story.
Either that or you'll get your money back.
Yeah, or you'll get a Florida story.
Or your money back. Hey, let's do a movie review.
Okay.
Real quick. This is new.
Oh, I know why. Because this is a setup.
It's not a setup at all.
It is a setup. You're going to talk about Blade Runner.
Yes, Blade Runner.
Go ahead. Hold on.
You've got the floor.
Let's get the information straight to begin with. I said strite.
Go ahead.
You've never seen the original.
Okay, wait a minute.
Hold on. You've never seen the original, but I have seen the original.
Well, that doesn't matter at all.
No, I'm setting the stage here before we start talking.
Whatever.
You're an individual who's never seen the original. I'm an individual who has seen the original and love the original.
That has no weight.
Has a lot to do with it. So now proceed. Proceed.
All right. You and I both joined up with MoviePass. So now we're just going to the movies
all
the
time. Not a sponsor.
Not
a sponsor.
Not a sponsor yet. But Lori and I, I bet we've seen, I don't know, we've been
you've
members.
You've seen 7 or 8 movies.
We've seen a lot of movies. So we go to see Blade Runner. I loved it. I give it two. If I had more than two, I give it two thumbs.
How
and
many
two
blades
big,
would you give it?
I give it two thumbs and two big toes straight up.
You don't have toes.
I've got plenty of toes.
Okay. So you thought it was awesome.
I really did. It was gorgeous, too. I mean, they could have taken, I could watch it with the volume down, and it would still be a great movie. It's so beautiful.
Here's my problem with the movie, all right?
Oh, go ahead.
I love the original.
Roger.
Well, here's the both guys are gone now, so it doesn't really matter. Either one of us could be the dead guy. So.
Siskel.
I love the original.
Yeah.
And the new one is beautiful.
I told you.
But here's the problem.
How many thumbs and toes you give it?
How many thumbs and toes? Like four?
Yeah, it's the max. Four ups.
Like
max.
Four stars, it's going to be four toes and
four,
thumbs.
Four toes and thumbs.
I'm going to give it maybe a 2.5. I just thought, as a person who loves
it. You couldn't go three? You couldn't
no,
go two thumbs and a toe?
No, one of them got caught in the circular saw. I only had a half a toe. So, it looked beautiful. But about a third of it could have been on the cutting room floor. It was so.
I disagree.
No, it was
well,
so.
Well, I can
slow.
Disagree.
You can.
You and Lori had the same opinion
well,
of it.
Well, because here's
it
the
wasn't slow
but
at
see,
all.
I love the original, but here's what I felt like I was watching. I felt like because Harrison Ford doesn't show up until like an hour and a half into the movie.
Well, he's just a minor part.
I know. But he's also.
And how about his dog watching him fly away?
Yeah.
Heart wrenching.
That was.
Heart
okay, tell everybody the story, okay? Ruin it for everybody.
Spoiler
they don't art. Know that the dog's a Blade
the dog
Runner.
Gets sad.
The dog's a Blade Runner. So a couple things bug me. One is, I'm not going to blow it for anybody, but they do the thing they've done in Star Wars and or Rogue One and all these other ones where they try to bring back a character digitally.
Yeah.
And they should have stopped at showing this person. Don't say who it is. They should have stopped at showing the person without having them try to talk. Because as soon as they start talking, it was like, oh, look, there's a computer-generated version of that person.
See, I didn't even notice that.
Because you haven't seen the original, you're not qualified. So,
I've seen movies.
So my other problem was I felt like this was a movie that we were waiting We were waiting for him to find Harrison Ford so we could see Harrison Ford. It felt like we were waiting for Han Solo to show up in the movie.
My only issue with that was that Harrison Ford received major billing on the credits.
Right.
Like, and he was only... Well, is that
a spoiler? No, I mean, it's like when in the latest Star Wars movie, when they're trying to find Luke the entire movie.
It's just like that.
And you finally find Luke, and it's like he doesn't say anything. Well, Harrison,
and then the drone flies away, and the credits start rolling. Yeah.
I mean, Harrison has got a part in it, no doubt, and he's awesome because he's Harrison Ford, but... It just didn't work for me, and I would have I wish they would have just left it.
You know
way
why?
It was.
You're a Blade Runner snob.
Well, no, the first
no,
movie,
you are.
The first movie is just so it's such a unique. Now I had your relative that I saw last night at a movie theater.
Yes,
Alan, not your brother Alan, who everybody loves, but your other relative,
the other Alan.
He did not like the original at all.
Did he like the new one?
He wants to see it because he wants to see. And anywho, we've spent a lot of time on this, but all I'm saying is you should see it if you like that movie. I found that I was wishing it was over because it was just going on so long, but it was beautiful.
Well, I've seen so many movies, we could do a movie podcast.
No, I'm sure there's none of those out there.
Anyway, you got this.
Top story.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This involves a snake.
Oh, stop right there. What did you just say?
It involves a snake.
And what have you been on me about for over a year now? A snake theme song.
Oh, snake theme song.
Well, here you go.
That's a really slow theme song. Does this go on for another hour?
Watch out! Oh, the snake hole.
Is that you?
He said,
freaky!
The snake hole, man.
Okay, we're going to work on making that shorter. You stop it, okay? It's gone too long. Okay, that...
Made me happy.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. That you made a snake
theme. I worked hard on that.
It's good. We just have to kind of get through your head that they have to be shorter.
Well, we talk over it.
Only out of uncomfortableness.
You want to hear it again?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
My smoker's laugh over here. I do not
you
smoke.
You sound like an old guy.
It's the asthma.
Whatever. Oh, now it's asthma. Last time it was bronchitis.
I thought it was bronchitis. Yeah, apparently, I've had asthma for 50 years and nobody bothered to tell me.
50? So when you turn 10, you got it?
Whatever. Go ahead. Are you going to talk about the snake?
Deadly snake uses cat door to invade family home and hide in the curtains.
What a smart snake.
He's a very smart snake.
Sneaky
this
smart.
This happened October 10th.
Yes.
This is like, you know where this is?
Where is it?
Oh, come on.
Where?
Starts off so hot.
Do you know what? This story has had three theme songs.
Well, you know what? This is really good. It had the
top story.
Yes.
It had the new super duper snake theme song.
Well, the top story's not a theme song. It's just a drop.
And then it's got the Aussie song.
See, this is timely because now we're getting to show that your theme songs are way too they're long.
Look, I had to expand our
soundboard.
Our soundboard now it's got twice the buttons.
You think,
and they're smaller.
How many people raise your hand if you're asleep now?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Don't we have a story? Are you going to read
this
or not?
Do you think anyone that's sleeping actually raised their hand?
Go.
Okay. Deadly snake uses cat door to invade family home and hide in the curtains. An Australian snake catcher.
Don't you mean an Australian snake catcher?
Do you want to tell it or do you want me to tell it?
I bet he had a blooming onion.
An Australian snake catcher said a deadly serpent. Well, which one isn't deadly in Australia?
Really?
Found hiding in someone's curtains was able to slither into the house using a cat door. Darren Keeler of Snake Catcher Geelong, or is it Geelong? I don't know.
Who knows?
He posted a video on Facebook of the Eastern Brown Snake, one of the most venomous snakes in the world.
And we've discussed that one at length here on Weird.
After he extracted it from the curtains at the home in Bannockburn, Victoria, Keeler said the snake apparently slithered into the home through a cat door. Most cat doors are in the middle of the door. And they can't climb up into the corner, he told News 7. But this particular one was in the corner of the door, not the snake, the door itself.
Not the corner of the snake?
The cat door, yeah.
Yeah.
So it had the corner of the building to climb up into. Keeler posted a photo on Facebook showing the snake slithering off into the wilderness after being released. He said the reptile was a whole new snake after returning into its natural habitat. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's a whole new snake.
Do you think because he had interior design ideas?
Let me tell you something.
Because he was looking at curtains.
Let me tell you something.
What?
Okay. Before I became a podcaster, I kind of wanted
to... Is that what you are?
But kind of wanted to be an inventor.
Yeah.
And my first invention is a cat door
For snakes?
With a computer chip, and then the cat's collar has the matching chip.
I think they make those.
Well, I thought of it like years ago.
Whatever.
And when you got to have that collar on to open the cat door.
I have to have the collar on to open the cat door?
Yes. Anybody. If you want to open the cat door, like if in so Home Alone, I always think of Home Alone.
What if I'm not?
Hello.
What if my cat wants in? I don't have a cat. But what if the cat wants in and I'm at work and I got the collar on?
Well, then the cat doesn't get in. Headline
is... So if I'm home, why wouldn't I just open the door for
him? I didn't stop you from telling your story.
Yeah, you did.
Headline is, small boy left involuntarily honking after swallowing a party horn. Exists like that. Doctors had no option but to operate after the 8-year-old boy from Tucumán in Argentina ingested the small whistle. The small white plastic whistle had become lodged in the boy's trachea.
That's very racist. Why couldn't you just say it was a small plastic whistle?
Meaning that surgery was the only way to get rid of it. But before the operation, Dr. Gomez Zavira decided to film the boy and put it online as a warning to other parents. And I just happen to have this. Listen. Here he goes. He's just breathing. This is him breathing.
How's he not dead?
Well, Eric could go through it, and they actually talk about that. I wish he was speaking. I'd like to hear him talk.
I'd have to ask if I could keep it.
Yeah. Can you just leave that there? So in the clip, the forlorn-looking boy faces the camera and honks repeatedly.
He's his own party favor.
This video has now had 6.5 million views and, of course, thousands of comments. The doctor said, thank God he did not choke, and we can laugh it off now.
Wow.
I know.
How do I follow that?
But what a party trick.
I was going to say, he's his own party
favorite.
He'd
be a great hunter, too. He got his own duck call built right in.
That's not that. No, he'd call in, like, balloon animals or something. That's not going to call a duck in. Yeah, clowns.
Clowns coming from all over.
Woman threatens to call security on dad changing son's diaper in parents'
what
room.
What in the world is this world coming to, Craig?
A woman has defended a man after he was shamed out of a parent's room in a Sunshine Coast shopping center.
Oh, sounds like a nice place.
According to witness Mika Ives, the man was trying to change his son's nappy. You know where this is. No! Stop! That's not what I meant. I meant it's somewhere, not here. That's all I meant by that. When another mother walked over to him, accusing him of being a sicko.
Sicko?
And ordered him to leave. There was a dad in the middle of changing his son's nappy, already having a difficult time with his son not wanting to be changed, Mika Ives wrote on a local parenting Facebook group page. The woman allegedly accused the father of staring at her naked kids.
Oh my goodness.
And threatened to call security. The lady piped up and started abusing the dad for being in the parents' room. It's only for mothers. Get out, you sicko.
If it was only for mothers, it'd be called the mother's room.
That's right.
It's a parent's room.
Literally saying she would call security and say he was staring at her half-naked kids. It doesn't say half. I made that up. If he didn't leave the room, I've said. He picked up his son, who, mind you, didn't even have a clean nappy on. He didn't have a clean nappy, Aaron.
I know.
Nappy.
I can smell it from here.
Yes, yeah, that's my trash can.
Oh, sorry.
The nappy... went on to stand outside the door. His son was hysterical, and he's just saying, it's okay, mate. We'll go back in there soon.
It's okay, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll get you cleaned up.
Who was disgusted at the woman's behavior, walked over to the father and told him to come back inside and finish putting a clean nappy on his child. She said, you like this, do you? She said,
that's what I take on Sunday afternoons.
I take nappies all the time. She said if the other woman called security, she would back him up. In other words, she would get behind him. She would help him walk backwards. She's going to help.
She's got a gun. I'll back you. I'm your backup.
I'll back you up. At this point, I thought, forget this. Told the dad to come back in and finish changing his son. Told the lady that if she wanted to call security, to go ahead because I would 100% back the dad up, she wrote. She just went country all of a sudden.
She
back
did.
The dad, old mate, finished changing his son, thanked me, and off he went.
Off he went happy.
You know that lady follows us in every story now?
She's a big fan, I guess.
She is a big fan.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All right, we got a story, Craig. Political correctness gone amok again.
Oh, no.
Headline is Detroit firefighter.
Detroit.
What did I say?
Detroit.
You got to lose your mind in Detroit, Rock
it's
City.
It's not D-E-E-E-T-R-O-I-T.
It's not Detroit, because Kiss sings, you got to lose your mind in Detroit. Rock City.
Yeah, well.
That's how I learned to say
okay,
it.
Okay, fine. Okay. If they say it, must make it right.
That's right.
Grown men dressing up in makeup and acting like clowns on stage.
Headline is, Detroit firefighter fired for bringing a watermelon to the station.
You know, I saw this.
Did you really?
Well, I saw the picture of the watermelon, but okay. We're gonna try not to be political about this, but I understand it was an unfortunate choice the man made, maybe. But clearly he wasn't making,
I don't know him personally.
By the evidence presented in the story,
yeah,
it does not appear as though the man, who would do that? That's the question.
Yeah, well, what happened is this. Earlier this month, 41-year-old Robert Pattison went to introduce himself to his fellow firefighters at Engine 55 in Detroit.
Detroit.
Yep. 2nd Battalion Chief Sean McCarty calls it a tradition for firefighters.
Calls it a what?
A tradition for firefighters. It's not mandatory. It's voluntary, he says. You come in bearing gifts. And the usual gift is donuts.
That's a good gift.
That's a really good gift.
But this guy wanted to be healthier.
But, exactly. And you're allowed to bring whatever you want to bring, you know, as far as gifts concerned. So Pattison, a probationary firefighter. So he's a new guy. He's a rookie.
He's on his 90 days.
He decided to bring a watermelon wrapped in a pink ribbon. So we're told some African-American firefighters were instantly offended since 90% of the people who work at Engine 55 are black.
Okay.
Now, see, I could make this same mistake. I love watermelon.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so silly about this. Now, if it was presented in the story, this guy has a history of, you know, and it was
racist.
It was obvious that he was being hateful about it. But give me a break. I mean, what's going to, you know...
If I'm in a group...
Are there rules now of what you're allowed to bring?
Unfortunately, there are.
I mean, I'm saying, but... Is there a handbook that was given to him saying, oh, well, you can't – I mean, you know what I mean?
Let me tell you this. If I'm in a group of people, any setting, and somebody walks in with a watermelon –
I'm excited.
I don't care if there's a pink ribbon around it or what. I'm on them like glue.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not taking inventory of people's skin color.
I'm taking
inventory of the color of that watermelon. I want that watermelon in my belly.
Yes. I honestly don't see skin color with people. I really don't.
I can see how unfortunate this – I can see how – I kind of get it, like how it looked or whatever. I think it was extreme to fire the poor guy.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I mean, obviously, unless they find out, you know, unless there was something else to the story, and I'm just putting a disclaimer.
Well, let's see. So Patrick Trout, another firefighter, said that when you get your first detail at a firehouse, you pretty much know what you're getting yourself into, so you would have to say it was probably a bad call. Is it racially insensitive to bring a watermelon into a firehouse? So McCarty, the boss over there, said to some people it really is. So Fox spoke to him on phone, and he claims it's not a joke, that he did not mean to offend his fellow firefighters, but he clearly did. Fire Commissioner Eric Jones says the Fenton native was officially discharged.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and this there's no – our conversation, there's no – anybody listening, there's no hate involved. We're just exploring this, okay?
Yeah.
If he shows up with a bucket of KFC,
right?
Does that mean he's a racist too?
What's a white racist food? What do we eat that they make fun of? Hot dogs?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I'm just asking.
We eat everything.
That's the thing. I love watermelon.
I think it's the intent is what they're missing.
I love fried chicken.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's the intent they're missing. There are a lot of people so bent on trying to get somebody on something.
When did food become racist?
Well, I mean, clearly those are two foods that have always been.
No, I don't think so.
Those two foods have always been a stereotype.
I disagree.
Maybe
you're right, but growing up, I never saw that stereotype.
I'm not saying you witnessed the stereotype. I'm saying those are two. That's why this is okay. Back up. This is why this is a deal.
I know it is.
Because watermelon
is a
stereotype.
What I'm saying to you is why? When did that happen? When I was a kid. Watermelon meant nothing but good.
You can go back to very racist figurines and things, you know.
I've seen that.
Post-Civil War, you know, and all this stuff. And there's plenty of, like, little really sadly thought-out caricatures of people.
I think it's a foul that any food.
I think that if he walked in with – I think if he walked in, you know, dressed as Aunt Jemima passing out pancakes, that would be racially insensitive.
Yeah.
You know, because Aunt Jemima.
I get that.
Because Aunt Jemima, you could argue, is very racially insensitive, and I'm going to give him that one.
Speaking of that, Aunt Jemima on the pancake box?
Oh, that's not funny. But I do like Aunt Jemima. Does that make me racist?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so we don't get political here. We're just exploring the story.
Yeah, and that's it. I'm done with that story because I'm getting mad.
And if you want to send us a
watermelon.
A cottermelon. If you want to send us a comment, I was trying to say comment, and then you said watermelon. It came out cottermelon.
That's okay. I'll eat cottermelon too. I don't even know what it tastes like.
But if you have, again, this isn't our opinion. I mean, well, it is a little bit, but I'm saying I just don't see how food is that offensive.
I don't either, and it upsets me,
but
as you can tell.
But I do see where there's an unfortunate Do you walk?
Now I got to worry. I can't take watermelon anywhere I go now.
I know.
Except for family functions.
And I love watermelon.
And I've got African Americans in my family. I mean, and
that is true.
Yeah.
You do.
I got to be careful taking them to my family functions.
You need to poll those people in your family and ask what they think.
Oh, I know what JD thinks. He thinks it's flipping ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He thinks it's so ridiculous, he flips. He starts doing flips. He's out there in the yard right now just flipping.
Wait, was that a Flip Wilson joke? Are you being racist?
Yeah, I'm being racist right now because Flip Wilson is black. Yeah.
Love you, JD.
Can we just move on from this uncomfortable conversation? But I feel bad for the guy losing his job.
I do too. I really do.
Again, I can't say this enough. If we find out the guy's a total racist loser later, I will not back him up.
And I'll say this. If there's any food, and if any listener knows of any food that's considered racist for whites,
please tell us.
Yeah. And anybody can bring me any food they want anytime. I will not be offended.
I bet cupcakes. I bet cupcakes.
I don't know. Maybe. Bananas?
We're actually underscoring the point.
I know.
There's no food that you're going to name for white folk that you're going to say, oh, that's a white folk food. What a stupid. Food's food. It's just
that's
food.
What I'm saying.
It's just food.
Food should be food. Food should not be racist of any kind, of any kind.
It wasn't like the guy walked in, you know, making a racial statement. It was, and he even put a bow on it.
Our friend Miguel eats beans.
Yeah. So do we.
Yes. It doesn't mean anything.
No.
Okay.
I think you just got racist.
I did not.
I'm
he
telling
does.
Miguel.
I've seen it.
I'm telling him.
Well, you'll have to. He doesn't listen.
That's true. He's like Lori. He's off in a corner somewhere not listening. Yes. Hey, Wyoming man arrested after claiming he traveled. That's a weird thing to get in trouble with.
I travel.
Yeah.
I try to.
He was arrested for telling somebody he traveled. What is this, North Korea?
Go finish the story.
Oh,
sentence.
Right.
Yeah.
He, Wyoming man arrested for claiming he traveled from 2048, that's the year, 2048,
wow,
to warn of an alien invasion.
Wow, that's like 30 years.
Why would you be arrested for that? Because here's the deal.
What if he's true?
I want to know.
Me too.
What if he's true? What if he's correct?
What if he's truly correct?
What if he's true? Whatever.
By the way, this came to us from Mark Patch. This is a Mark Patch heavy episode today.
I'm going
to
be honest with you. I think I sent you this one too.
Well, Mark sent it first.
I'll give Mark credit for it.
Yeah.
I don't want credit.
Well, whatever. You just claimed it. Mark, this is from you. Thank you.
Whatever. So anyway, I don't mind. I'll give Mark some love. I don't care. Mark can have it.
Okay.
I'll give him credit. I don't care.
All right, go ahead.
Hey.
Yeah.
So Wyoming man arrested. Wyoming.
Now, is he from Wyoming from the 2048? Is there still a Wyoming?
Apparently, because he came from Wyoming in 2048.
Okay. That answers my question.
Okay. Whatever a Wyoming man was drinking was out of this world. Let's see what they did there. Bryant, thanks for the rim shot. Bryant Johnson, don't do it now. Bryant Johnson was arrested for public intoxication on Monday night after he allegedly told police that he came from the future to warn of an alien invasion.
I know what happened. Alcohol is illegal. There's prohibition in the future. And he got here and he's like, what? You can get this stuff?
So he drunk. Or,
yeah,
the alcohol content is through the roof in the future and he had too much when he came back and he was having
so you think he traveled drunk?
He was intoxicated while driving.
Okay.
His time machine. Police were called to a street in Casper where Johnson reportedly told them he traveled from the year 2048 and was trying to warn the town that aliens would be arriving next year. Johnson said,
I hope they show up.
It'd be kind of cool. Yeah. Johnson said,
no, just to prove him right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be
and
awesome.
And then they could, just so they'll issue an apology.
And if they just stop and they say, we're not here to hurt anybody, we just want to prove that Bryant was right.
No, we say, hey, are you the guys that Bryant told us about?
Nah.
Yeah. Bleep, 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 bleep. That was insensitive to aliens. He reportedly told law enforcement that he was able to travel back to 2017, even though he said he meant to travel to 2018 because aliens filled his body with alcohol and had him stand on a giant pad to transport him to the past.
Same thing happened to me in high school. I asked my parents. I said, I don't know how this happened. Aliens filled me with it.
They filled me with alcohol. And then they put you on a giant
pad.
Matter
of fact, I think you were there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I wasn't there. The alien informant allegedly smelled of alcohol, had watery and bloodshot eyes, and slurred his speech,
sounds
police
drunk.
Noted.
Yep.
Johnson had a blood alcohol content of 0.136.
Is that over the legal limit? I don't know.
I never
numbers.
Remember because I don't drink. But here's the deal. I don't drink, and I definitely don't drink and drive, so I need to know those numbers. But hey.
You don't drive your time machine?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to drive your time machine responsibly.
Is it a DeLorean, I wonder?
No, that's in the movies, dude. This is real life. Come on.
It's a wardrobe.
This is real life, dude. He probably traveled like inside of a whiskey bottle or something.
Headline. Oh, you know, this is a banner night on Weird Craig. Because guess what?
We don't have any banners.
It's a food fight. It's a food fight story. And we got this.
You were just full of surprises. Animal House?
Yeah.
Okay, again, great theme.
Yeah, we can talk over
too
it.
Too long.
So you only have to talk. You only have to stop for John Belushi.
I think you're going to have to give me the files, and I'm going to fix those.
Headline is, man facing charges after fight over stolen pork roll. that's my asthma
attack.
A New Jersey man who police say punched another man several times over a stolen pork roll sandwich.
Seems warranted to me.
Is facing charges. Hackettstown police say that they were called to an apartment on reports of a fight over a stolen pork roll.
Mm-hmm.
Police found the victim with swelling on his face.
Because he got hit in the face, right?
They say the fight early Saturday morning also may have started over beer. I'm betting they're probably right. And that the suspect and the victim knew each other. Police arrested the 19-year-old Hackettstown man on simple assault charges. We need more information. I want to know, did he punch the man who stole his pork roll sandwich?
Say stole with a D at the end of it?
Yeah. Stole his pork roll sandwich, or did he steal a pork roll sandwich and then punch the man that originally owned it?
Either way, it wasn't a happy meal, and that goes into this next story.
Wait a second. See, we can talk over all this part.
This isn't a food fight story.
Listen, now you got to be quiet. This is a food story.
I thought that was a food fight theme.
Well, it kind of is. Okay, I take it back for this story.
I don't think you understand what that means. McDonald's Happy Meals come with a side of cocaine.
Ooh.
This was definitely not on the dollar menu. A night shift manager at a Bronx McDonald's was dishing up more than burgers and fries. He was busted offering a side of cocaine in his Happy Meals.
Wow.
So getting all the kids all hopped up.
Yeah, like they don't already put that in their food because it's addictive, you know.
You know, I had a McDonald's story and I already forgot what it was.
Dang it!
I know.
Well,
you know, people don't hear it. People don't understand that we went through a lot of trouble just then.
Yeah,
and I've actually
pull the curtain.
Well, I mean, the deal is, I had a random story. You were gonna get to use the button.
Yeah,
and
I had to find it because the new soundboard's got twice as many buttons.
And now I can't remember
McDonald's.
The story.
That's bad
news.
This
is horrible.
Yeah, no,
anyway,
it's sad. So go ahead.
Authorities caught Frank Guerrero, 26, red-handed during a he'd catch up all of his hands. During a three-month undercover investigation dubbed Operation Off the Menu. That's OOTM, if you want to write that down. I made that up.
Just OOM.
According to the city's special narcotics prosecutor, Bridget G. Brennan, the conduct was so blatant that it would be comical if it weren't committing a serious narcotics crime, Brennan said. Ordering a Coke took on an entirely different meaning on the night shift at this McDonald's. Guerrero allegedly sold cops $10,900 worth. That's a lot to go in your cash register.
Now, Happy Meals aren't that expensive.
No, but that's a lot of me sold. They kept coming back for more.
Sure. Immediately.
He sold cops $10,900 worth of cocaine in 8 separate sales out of the franchise at blah, blah, blah in Southview section of the Bronx. At Soundview section of the Bronx. Although the eatery only took late-night orders through the drive-thru window, Guerrero allowed his drug customers to enter the main restaurant, officials said. It would seem to me that you would just let them come through the drive-thru because, you know, move them through.
Yeah, if you see handcuffs coming, you just slam the window.
You just go.
Yeah.
Although the eatery, I already said that part, didn't I? In one sale to an undercover at the counter, he allegedly concealed cocaine in a cookie bag, which he placed inside a larger McDonald's order of 2 cheeseburgers, a soda, and fries, authorities said. Other employees were milling about nearby. They were milling stuff. lumber. They were processing.
Well, the thing
trees.
Is, the burger business has seen better days. The burger business, so they had to bring in the lumber business.
I remember my story.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Craig's random story.
This theme song's a little
too
long.
So McDonald's. I watched the Michael Keaton movie, The Founder.
Yes. How was it?
Great movie.
I want to see it.
That's the end of my story.
Craig's random story.
Yeah, you should watch that one. It actually is really good. So anyway, it reminded me of all this because when the McDonald's brothers started the restaurant, they were selling cocaines in their hamburgers.
Spoiler.
No, they weren't. I was kidding.
Spoiler alert.
I made that up. So he allegedly stashed the drugs inside the restroom soap dispenser earlier that day. You think somebody washing their hands would have noticed that? They come out like,
my hands are dirty, but boy, do I feel good.
I feel great. The undercover then sat at a booth and ate a McDonald's meal personally delivered by Guerrero. Five other sales were conducted in the McDonald's parking lot. Police surveillance allegedly revealed that Guerrero regularly sold cocaine to buyers during his shift.
So this had been going on for quite a
this
while.
This guy's got an empire going. Authorities executed a search warrant on his home in the Pelham section of the Bronx, where they allegedly seized 200 grams of cocaine and $5,300 in cash. Lidi Cabral Castillo?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a big bust to me.
Lidi Cabral Castillo, LCC, and her two-year-old child were inside the apartment at the
time.
So
they seized 200 grams and $5,300. That's a tiny little bust.
As much as they were pushing, they're probably just happy to get anything on them.
Probably. Uh-oh. Headline is Deuce Dropping Pooper Man Does His Business
Pooper Man
at a Kentucky Car Wash. This also from Mark Patch. The owners of a car washing business in Kentucky are asking for the public's help in identifying a man who turned two of their locations into his personal commodes. There's that word again. A sicko they've dubbed Pooper Man.
Pooper Man.
The suspect is seen in two Facebook videos. I don't want to see those videos.
Pooper Man.
Doing his business at separate soak and wet car washes locations in Owensboro, Kentucky.
Not soaking wet. They're actually soaking wet.
Yes.
Soaking wet.
Does anyone know this guy? Co-owner Becky Whittinghale posted on Facebook on Tuesday. Help me make this viral. Pooper Man strikes again.
No, it's just Poop Man.
Yeah, but I put the ER in there because Pooper Man.
Poop Man.
In the second video, the man appears to be squatting outside a different location, standing against a wall as he apparently relieves himself
near
a car.
You know, he should hook up with the chick in California. Or whatever.
That's what I'm about to talk about. Two serial poopings in the span of 1 week. The InfoWars subscriber in me wonders if these crimes aren't connected. Are Pooper Man and the Mad Pooper some sort of modern-day Bonnie and Clyde, Craig? Are they? One on the sidekick, maybe? Pooper Man and his trusty sidekick, Mad Pooper?
Poop Man!
Or is it bigger than that? Is dumping logs in public the new frontier in American terrorism?
They were dumping logs at the McDonald's when they were milling.
That's true. That's enough of that story. There's more there, but...
I like how you just blow these stories off now.
I think it's time to move on. Hey, guess what?
What? Yeah, that's catching on, but I think it needs to stop early. But it's not a food fight.
This is a food fight.
Well, not really.
No, see, yes it is. Don't you see?
No.
Read the headline.
Missouri man charged with stabbing grandson after donut argument.
See? That's a food fight.
It's a fight.
Over
but
food.
Not throwing food.
No, but it doesn't have to be. We don't cover stories of people in a real food fight, but we do though. We cover a lot of stories of people getting in fights over food. And that's when you'll hear this.
You change the rules.
Every time. No, I don't change the rules.
You do.
No, I do not.
All the time.
This is a food fight because it's a fight to start.
Could you make the stop now?
Start it with food.
Sounds like a Saturday morning show.
I'm proud of this.
Like a 1970s, like Saturday morning Sid and Marty Krofft.
It does, kind of, yeah.
A Missouri man has been charged with stabbing his 12-year-old grandson in the arm after an argument over a donut. Don't mess with Grandpa's donut.
Heck no.
67-year-old Jose Ortega was...
Oh, I buy his tacos.
Yeah, he's got good shells.
Yeah, he
does.
Especially
the ones that are flat on the bottom so they don't fall over.
Yes, the square ones.
Those are good.
Yeah.
They're square like your head. He was charged Tuesday with first-degree domestic assault and armed criminal action. Okay, we won't say the thing about how he had arms. Bond is set at $50,000, not pesos. No attorney is
racist. Your pesos mark was racist.
But the taco comment wasn't. No attorney is listed for him in online court records. Ortega told police the boy was disrespectful and that he snapped early Tuesday. Well, I can snap. Listen.
Yeah, but it's not early Tuesday. It's Friday.
Oh. Let's see. The boy snapped early Tuesday. La da 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 da. Bob's your
this,
uncle.
That, the other.
I said that for Australian friends. Bob's
yes.
your uncle. When the boy refused to give him a donut, the bleeding boy then ran to get help at a neighbor's house in the Kansas City suburb of Raytown. Hospital staff told police the blade went completely through the boy's forearm, creating a 4-inch long wound.
Eesh.
This is your flesh and blood. This is your grandson.
Well, it was also a donut, Craig.
That is true. Yeah. But it probably wasn't like a Krispy Kreme. It was probably some crappy, like,
Shipley
donut.
Yeah, I don't know. Where's this from? Did it say? Oh, Missouri. I don't know. It may. I don't know if Krispy Kreme's, if they're lucky enough.
Probably one of those loose meat donuts.
Headline.
What's a loose meat donut?
It's a donut with the meat loose inside
it. Oh, right.
Headline is, man dressed as shark falls afoul of a new law.
That's right. You cannot wear a shark burka.
Got all kind of theme songs floating all over the podcast today. I'm going to cut this one short. Australian police issued a fine to a man dressed as a shark under a new anti-burka law.
Fine.
Oh, yeah. Fine then. The mascot was standing outside a new outlet at the McShark Electronics Store when he was asked by police to remove his shark head. When he can't, you know, mascots cannot remove their head in public. That's but, like,
well, maybe a professional one. This guy's in front of some electronic
shop
or something.
He's getting paid. He's okay, a professional mascot. So he's making money
like
as
saying,
a mascot.
That's like saying the Superman in Times Square is a professional Superman.
Well, he kind of is.
Oh,
he's, no. That's
well,
what he does
in
for
his
a living.
Mind.
Yeah.
So, since when is a shark outfit or any kind of a costume considered a burka?
This goes all the way back to what we were talking about earlier. This world's going insane, for one thing. There's no way you could confuse a shark head with a burka.
Well, they weren't. I think they were just...
No, I know, but this law, somebody's lazy.
They were having some of that wacky Australian tobacco.
So he refused to remove his shark head, and he was issued a fine, which can be up to $176. The new laws aimed at prohibiting people from covering their faces in public came into effect at the start of October. I don't want to live in a world.
No, and you know what? This is going to have to fall under...
Common sense,
First thing that comes to mind is when satire or parody of something, you're protected because it's in jest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but a shark outfit should be protected.
And he's at McShark Electronics.
He's in front of an electronic store.
It would be like, you know, the pizza guy in front of Little Caesars.
Yeah.
You know, you see him out every once in a while.
Okay. We've pretty much covered all of that. Chilling paintings by killer clown John Wayne Gacy expected to sell for $8,300 each.
That's a good one. I want a John Wayne Gacy.
I would be sorry if I got one of these, but I would be afraid there'd be some kind of evil mojo on
these. And it's really weird because they showed the front and the back. And on the back, he put, "Enjoy this painting as much as I enjoyed painting it." Yes, and it's a self-portrait.
But the thing is, I've got to think there's some evil attached to that.
Sure,
that,
probably.
I mean, that just...
It's kind of Haints in there or something.
He's creepy.
Oh, you ain't kidding. Oh, yeah. And anybody that... any serial killer that dresses as a clown, forget about it. That's the stuff of nightmares
there. He was the inspiration for Stephen King's It. Is that true?
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, I read it on the internet.
That's true. Yeah. Murdering more than 30 young men and boys while living a double life as a children's entertainer. Wasn't he the guy that would like bury him in a concrete slab under the house?
He just buried him under the house.
I think he had concrete slabs
in his draw space.
Also known as a cross space.
That's where he did his art,
his
too.
His drawing, his draw space. Now paintings by the killer clown, John Wayne Gacy, are on sale, expected to fetch thousands of dollars when they go under the hammer.
Why are they going to go put them under a hammer?
Seems like it would destroy them.
I wouldn't pay $8,000 for a painting that had been hammered.
No, I'd want it to be in pristine condition.
Like original painting.
Right. His paintings are part of the controversial murderabilia, see what they did there?
Yep.
Murderabilia market, which includes art by notorious criminals
asthma.
And murderers. Gacy appeared to be a kind and generous man, donating to charity and performing for sick children as his alter ego, Pogo the Clown.
Oh, gosh, that's so creepy.
It was all a front to lure victims who he tortured and killed after tricking them into going into his house and do stuff. So
I read, you've seen the movie, by any chance?
It?
No, not yet. The John Wayne Gacy?
No,
movie?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh.
He strangled or choked all his victims except for... the first one who was stabbed, they dumped their bodies under his home. Gacy finally confessed to his crimes in December of 78 and was executed by lethal injection in May 1994. Gacy's art is expected to sell around $8,300 a piece at the auction at Mullock's in Shropshire, if you fancied one of the works hanging in the living room. Other gruesome items at the auction include police photographs of the crawl space under his, not the draw space, but the crawl space.
Nothing, the same thing.
Under his home in Chicago, where he buried multiple victims. Alongside Gacy's art will be paintings by other killers, including Anthony Sowell, the Cleveland Strangler, who slayed 11, and a handwritten letter from Ted Bundy. I wonder if it's introducing the art. Hi, this is Ted Bundy.
You know my friend, John Wayne Gacy.
I hope you enjoy his art exhibit.
As much as he enjoyed painting him.
This put a little tiny little clown in the corner.
That's awful.
Happy little clown.
Oh, the self-portrait of him as Pogo was...
I know. It's scary. Anyway, that's enough of that story too. That's about all.
I think I would. I think I'd like to have.
It's
part of history.
I just think there's some evil stuck to that when he painted it. That's just. I wouldn't want to look at that knowing he touched that painting and just because they're creepy looking. And plus, here's the other problem.
Yeah.
If I found one in a storage shed and I went, oh, that's an original John Wayne Gacy, I wouldn't be giving money. Basically, somebody's profiting off of somebody else's loss.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, so
that's kind of sad.
There, I said it.
Headline is, deadly snake mistaken for toy at an Australian cafe. I'm not going to play the theme song because you kind of get, you know, antsy when I do.
Well, it goes on for like, it's like the remix. It goes on for like
an
hour.
But it says something like, everybody do the kangaroo. Okay, yeah, right. So you know what it is. Wildlife trappers were summoned to an Australian cafe.
A what?
An Australian cafe to capture a deadly, here we go again, eastern brown snake that showed up for
brunch.
Why
are there never any northern, western, southern
racist snakes? Nick Chauvilles, owner of Lexi's on the beach in Newcastle, New South Wales, said he initially thought the serpent was an abandoned toy when he spotted it curled up with a plant in the eateries.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to approach what I think is a toy snake the same way I would approach what I think might be rubber poop.
He's cautiously.
I'm cautious, and I'm not going to reach my hand out.
Especially in Australia. They shouldn't even sell toy snakes in Australia.
You need to poke it with a snake.
Yes, you do.
You need
see
to
if
find
it moves.
Out. Yeah, and you poke the snake with a snake, or you poke the poop with a snake. That's an inside joke nobody gets. But anyway.
Here's what he said, though. I leaned down to have a close look at it. It looked like a toy snake to me, someone had put there as a joke. And so I slowly started to reach in, then its head moved. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
William Marmalou, a trapper and native and feral pest management, arrived.
Come on, sing it.
I was defeated. You beat the snake. Arrived on the scene and bagged the snake. Usually, a brown snake would avoid humans, but today, William Marmalou visited Lexi's on the beach to catch a 5-foot eastern brown snake. That's a big toy. If the man thought this snake
was a toy.
Eastern brown snake, which gave a few patrons a little bit of a surprise. Native and feral management said in a Facebook post, now, really, it probably only wanted a mocha and a mouse to share.
I don't think so.
Manager Benny Svokles said that the customer enjoyed the live entertainment.
The live entertainment.
Yes. A lot of customers actually really enjoyed it, and the kids... Oh, wait. A lot of customers actually enjoyed it, and the kids, hey, they really liked it, he said. We had a good morning of breakfast, and then lunch died off, you know, nearly literally.
Wait, I'm confused. It went from he found the snake to the kids enjoyed it?
Yeah. That's what the manager said, that the guy... Because the manager wasn't the one that tried to pick up the snake.
So, did anybody get bitten?
Nobody got
bitten.
Then
why are we reporting this?
Because, you know, he thought it was a toy.
Well, this is a theme here.
Yeah.
Because the next one, crocodile swimming in London Harbor was a pond ornament.
Somebody got all upset and called the fuzz.
So this was a situation, again, if I thought I saw a real crocodile, I'm going to approach it carefully until I find out it's a pond ornament.
No. I don't care what it is. I'm not approaching it.
That's true.
Yeah. Unless it's a possibility that it's a real crocodile, Aaron's back here, buddy.
Yeah.
I'll be in the car.
That's true. I don't blame you. A crocodile, quote-unquote, reported swimming among the yachts docked at a London harbor was found to be a realistic pond ornament. Chris Davies tweeted a video Tuesday morning showing what appeared to be a crocodile floating between houseboats in London Chelsea Harbor.
Uh-huh.
Chelsea Harbor has its very own croc, Davies wrote.
That's so
police
good.
Cold. That's police contacted Harbor Master. I just like he's to the point.
Yes, I do too.
Police contacted Harbor Master Cullen Bullock, never mind him, who investigated the discovery and discovered the object wasn't a reptile at all. Oh. It was just a pond ornament. That was it. It was quite obviously a plastic item, and I just got a net. He told the, I don't know who Annette was, but he got her.
Funicello.
He told the Evening Standard, there was no reason to panic. We've had dolphins and porpoises before, but nothing like this.
Plastic ones, I wonder?
I don't know. Davey, the dolphin would just fall over on its side, I would think, if it was plastic.
Yeah.
Davey said the item had appeared to be a legitimate reptile. It looked like the real deal. I know 6 pythons have been found in the Battersea Park this year, so I thought maybe it was a dumped pet. He said, I've never seen anything like it before.
He's never seen a crocodile.
He's never seen a pond ornament crocodile.
How sad is that?
Time for the Mark Patch Top 10.
Yes, it is. And this really is a Mark Patch Top 10 tonight.
Mark, stepping up. How much are we still paying? Give him a
I'll give him a bonus.
Give him a 20% bonus. What's 20% of zero?
I'm going to give him a 100% bonus.
Give him 100%.
For this week.
100% of zero.
Yeah, because he put a lot of work into this episode.
Mark Patch's top 10 favorite music movies, not musicals, concerts, or documentaries.
Music movies.
Yes. So these are movies that are the storyline involves music.
Right.
Not like a live concert or anything.
Right. Or like Cats or Rent.
Right, right.
Which I love that one, by the way. I love Rent, the movie.
I rented it, oddly enough,
first time I saw it.
The irony.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's weird.
None of the stuff
in that song was irony.
No, it's not.
Can I go now?
Yeah.
Would it be okay with you?
You going with number 10?
Number 10. Rock My World, 2002, starring Alicia Silverstone and Peter O'Toole.
Never saw it.
Never want to.
Number 9, Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and 2001, the
starring Rachel Lee Cook, Tara Reid, and Rosario Dawson.
Nobody saw it.
I didn't see it either, but if it's got Rosario Dawson in it, I probably should.
Now, how did number 8, Purple Rain, why is it at number 8?
That's a good question. Mark Patch,
what's wrong with you?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, actually, you know what? I don't really remember the movie. The album is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's you know.
Now, I don't know about the movie.
I just think that it would probably
It belongs at number 8.
I'm not saying it should be number one, but I would think it'd be...
You know what?
I think it'd be above the next one you're about to read.
I choose to trust Mark Patch.
All right.
He knows what he's talking about.
Remember what happened last time?
He's in the biz.
Hope you got bail money. Go on.
Number eight.
I just did it.
Oh, no, you didn't. You never said what it was.
I did too. Number 8, Purple Rain.
You didn't say that. You just said out of
this. Are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive.
Okay, number 8, Purple Rain. I don't know how that ended up at number 8.
You can apologize now or after I turn the mics
later,
off.
Maybe.
Number 7, Wayne's World. Mike Myers and Dana Carvey. You know that.
I'm pretty sure I did say that though.
No, you didn't.
I did say Purple Rain.
When we're editing, we'll find out for sure.
We're gonna find out.
All right, five bucks.
I don't bet.
Okay. Yeah.
And also, okay, I don't trust you.
So number 7 was Wayne's World, and wasn't Wayne's World 1? Was that the one with Alice Cooper in it, or was that 2?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Number 6, Help. No, I mean I need help over here. Help. Number 6, Help. The Beatles.
From 1965. Number 5, School of Rock, starring Jack Black. Seen it, love it, from 2003.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Number 4, I've not watched. I want to
Rock Me Amadeus. Oh, I just gave it away.
Okay, well, all right. Number 4, Flashdance. Number 4, Amadeus.
Oh, number 3, Hard Day's Night.
You know, I actually tried to watch Amadeus recently, I think.
Did bore you?
And I couldn't get through it.
Just boring.
Yeah.
It was long. I remember it being long. Good soundtrack.
Go to number 3.
Hard Day's Night from 1964 by The Beatles.
Number 2. This is Spinal Tap.
I think that should be number 1. On my list, that one would probably be number
1.
You
know what's funny is I've only seen clips of that. I've never watched it all the way through.
Oh, I've got it memorized, man.
I mean, I know a lot of it, but not because I don't want to see it. I just never got around to it.
Well,
30-some years later, I never got around to it.
The number 1, Mark Patch favorite musical movie, or music movie, not a musical or concert or whatever.
I've never seen this one either.
Number 1, That Thing You Do, starring Tom Hanks from 1996. I saw it, and I'd probably put that, it might make my top 10. He also had listed movies that he enjoys that didn't make the top 10, but I didn't print those off because we're out of time.
Mark needs to make a list of movies he fell asleep in.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Hey, speaking of Mark Patch.
That's him right there.
He wrote this little ditty right here.
That's him right there.
You can get this, too.
It's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes under weird podcast music.
Look up Mark Patch.
Yeah.
M-A-R-C, Mark.
Hey, that's it for episode 113. We'll see you on Monday.